From the Civic Media Radio Network, moving Wisconsin forward one joke at a time. This is As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
And so it goes, and so it goes, and so it goes, and so it goes. But where it's going, no one knows. Hello, Wisconsin!
Now, filling in for the new mom, here's Jane Matinair.
Good morning. Welcome, welcome, welcome to As Goes Wisconsin. Thank you so very much for joining us. Greg Bach with me in the studio. Calvin is on the board, and I'm really excited to have another guest in studio. Lindsay Bloomer is the CEO of WRTP Big Step, and it's WRTP.org. And you work with apprentices and apprenticeship programs.
We do.
Now, Governor Evers just announced over 16,000 apprentices are currently enrolled in Wisconsin's Registered Apprenticeship Program. That's the most since 2001, which is great. And I didn't realize that our state has had this program, an apprenticeship program since 1911. And we're also the only state that requires employers pay their apprentices for both the time that they're in the classroom and the time that they're on the job. So that's great.
It's really great. It is the leading apprenticeship program in the nation.
That's so exciting. It really is. At the very start of the show, I told Greg that I have a thing for heavy machinery. And I don't.
By the way, no context to the statement whatsoever.
I don't know why. I think cranes are cool and forklifts. And I would love to drive a forklift because I think it looks like fun.
I think we can make that happen.
Really?
Yeah. We just got to get you trained up. It doesn't take very long.
You think someone will actually insure me?
If we're just putting you on there, you're going to ride around, be fine.
Come on down to WRTP Big Step. We'll train you.
There you go.
Remote show.
Oh.
Interview some apprentices. I'll bring a dish to pass. It'll be nice.
I'm so there. Let's talk, Lindsay. So again, our apprenticeship program is doing really well with the biggest enrollment since 2001. And so who is applying? Are you seeing different faces? Are you seeing different folks? Who is applying now for these apprenticeships?
Yeah, so the face of apprenticeship is changing, much like our demographics are changing in Wisconsin. And while they may be changing, we always say apprenticeship is for everybody. Apprenticeship is accessible to every single person. And something that we do at WRTP Big Step is we act as the pre-apprenticeship kind of talent recruitment outreach for apprenticeship, for the union trades, both on construction and manufacturing sides.
Now, is it wrong for, because I always think an apprentice is someone who's just coming out of high school.
So the average age of an apprentice in Wisconsin is 28.
Really?
Yes. And we're actually trying to lower that because what has happened over time is there's been a big focus on going to four-year colleges directly after high school graduation. And while that is great for a lot of folks, and we have a very strong college system here in Wisconsin, there is another path, and that is apprenticeship. And so what we've been doing is a lot of education as well, that you can actually do a youth apprenticeship while in high school, graduate, go into either a pre-apprenticeship or a registered apprenticeship and start earning while you learn the day after you graduate.
That's huge.
I was 38 when I became an apprentice.
What did you apprentice in?
I know it doesn't look like it, but a barber. I went through the entire apprenticeship program, 2 years schooling and on the job training.
No kidding.
Yep. And I was 38.
That gives me hope. My career as a front load driver, but may still happen.
Yeah.
It could still happen for me.
We believe in you, Jane. In fact, we brought Lindsay here to tell you, you get an apprenticeship today.
I've had the opportunity, Lindsay, over the years to do various interviews, especially with trying to get more girls into the trades. And, you know, there's carpentry and there's plumbing and there's just laborer. There's, you know, crane operators and all kinds of things. Is any one field much more popular than another?
So if you've never been exposed to the trades or an apprenticeship, what we see people coming in our doors knowing that lights come on or knowing that you can turn a sink on. So many will say, well, I don't know, a plumber, an electrician. And what we do is a lot of career guidance and exploration. We'll take folks, youth, women, to training facility, union training halls, so they can experience it hands-on. And not realizing there are 19 trades. There are bricklayers. There are sprinkler fitters. So anytime you're putting in the sprinklers, the fire systems,
right,
there are HVAC technicians. It's a wide range. And so we see a lot of people come in and say, well, I want to be X because I know about that.
Yeah. But
then getting exposed to so many opportunities mm-hmm. that they may be better suited for.
What are some of the lesser known trades? I'm curious.
Right. So heat and frost insulators who insulate the piping in commercial buildings, sprinkler fitters, again, who do the fire systems. There are glazers, which glaze the windows. So
that's a huge skill.
Yep.
That's a huge skill.
Elevator repair is still a trade, right?
Correct.
Yes.
Yep. Elevator constructor.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
We just talked about that, didn't we?
I don't believe we.
I think that. No, I was just talking to someone about this who said that there are so few elevator repair people that we have to get ours from Illinois.
Yes. We learned that in school. And what's funny is that you're talking about having more women getting involved in the trades. When I graduated my class, it was mostly men. The only woman besides in my class, and all the women were all beautician apprentices.
Yeah.
There was one woman in elevator repair. The rest were all men, whether depending on what the trade was. It was all men except for the women who were doing, working in salon and the one woman who was working in elevator repair.
Lindsay Bloomer is our guest. She is the CEO of the industrial training program called WRTP, Big Step of South Central Wisconsin. Wisconsin currently has over 16,000 apprentices enrolled in registered apprenticeships programs. That's the most since 2001. I'm sure the level of physicality is going to vary from trade to trade as well.
It does. It does. And I think what has changed over the years, I think in our minds, perhaps you think, oh, those who work in the trades are going to be hauling heavy stuff 100% of the time, or they're going to, if they're in the industrial units, they're going to work in factories that are dirty. None of that is true anymore, actually. Any factory you go to around here, you could eat off the floor. I mean, it is so clean. And a job now with OSHA standards, safety standards, with a lot of the equipment that's being used, anyone can do these jobs. And while there is some physicality to it, what's great is the training provided by the union. So your apprenticeship is actually 4 to 5 years of earning while you learn. You're learning on the job. You're doing some classroom, some on the job. You're learning how to be safe. Stretching is a big part of the work now.
Oh, interesting.
Mental health is a big part of the job now as well, so that you can do your job well. And as you mentioned in the beginning, that employers pay for this in Wisconsin as well. And so you're getting paid while you're learning this at top dollar. Full benefits the first day as well. So you can be healthy and stay healthy on the job.
Again, 4-year college is great. It's not for everyone. And I think sometimes people go into it looking for a 4-year degree, expecting that they're going to come out and make considerably more money than they actually are.
I don't even understand. I've got a 4-year college degree as well. I've got both. And
you're making millions, aren't you?
Oh, so much money. One of the things, Lindsay, we spoke about off air, we made reference now to 4-year colleges, and yes, they are great for those who need it. One of the problems that, we have in this society is tech schools, apprenticeships, vocational schools. They tend to get a bad rap, like, oh, you couldn't get into this university. You got to go to this tech school, huh? Well, maybe you can transfer to Madison or Oshkosh. But it's like, no, these schools provide an important, important education and train people for good paying, high skilled jobs and create a career for life.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
There's no shame in that.
No. And people who go into registered apprenticeship, you do that 4 or 5 years, and then you take several exams to become a master crafts person or a journey person.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the folks that build the infrastructure of our communities. They're the ones who ensure that we have safe water, safe buildings, everything we need to function. And when we talk about the huge investment in infrastructure in this country, we aren't going to have internet unless we have people to do the directional boring to lay the fiber to give us broadband, right?
Yep.
I mean, that's one example.
Yep. Yeah.
And so folks are master craftspeople when they're coming out of these programs that are safe, they're skilled, they're diverse, and they pay well to support their families.
And I would assume too, Lindsay, that once you become a journeyman, you can take these with you wherever you go across the country, correct?
They are 100% transferable.
Yeah. That's big.
And also we've had people call in talking about, I worked for this HVAC guy for 25 years and I decided I'm going to start my own business. You can take that. You can take those skills and start your own thing. Get your own van, put out your own tile, and start making, you know, it's not all about the money, but it is an important aspect that these jobs are going to pay you and pay you well.
And they're not going to be replaced most likely by automation.
Yeah.
No. Right? They will always be there. You know, there isn't a ChatGPT or an AI function that can complete a building. Yeah. There is not one that can plumb a building. There's not one that can do fire protection. We just don't have that yet. And the chances of that happening are pretty slim. So we're always going to need folks who can help us as communities build our communities from the ground up.
Do you have time to stick around for one more segment?
I do.
That would be wonderful. We're going to talk about pay and how that ranges from trade to trade. And I see we have a caller on the phone as well. We're going to continue talking to Lindsay Bloomer, the CEO of the industrial training program called WRTP Big Step of South Central Wisconsin. We're talking about apprenticeships in Wisconsin and my opportunity to drive a front loader.
So,
because it's all about me.
Well, no, this is gets you involved. It gets you excited. I love it. We start you at a forklift, though, I think. We start you
there. And build my way up?
Build your way up. I think that's a good
place. Lindsay is agreeable with this.
I think once you get on a forklift, though, if you get a little space. Now, I'm not saying I did or didn't do this. But when I did work in a certain building, there was a lot of open space. And sometimes you would do donuts. I'm just saying.
It might happen.
But don't do that at home, kids.
Of course not.
But yeah, driving a forklift is fun.
Lindsay does not endorse the doing of donuts.
No.
Absolutely not.
That's not actually
absolutely not
within the training program.
Not training at all.
All right. Stay with us. We will be right back. You're listening to As Goes Wisconsin across the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome to As Goes Wisconsin. Jane Matinere in for Kristen Bry. Calvin is on the board. Greg Bach with me in studio. And we have a special guest. Lindsay Bloomer is the CEO of the industrial training program WRTP Big Step of South Central Wisconsin, talking about the fact that there are over 16,000 apprentices that are currently enrolled in registered apprenticeship programs in Wisconsin, the most since 2001. Let's talk about the pay differentiation between some of these trades, Lindsay. What would be like the highest? Is like the crane operator? Or are they? That's another one of my
You would do that? You get up on a tall building and do the crane thing?
No, I'd have to be on the ground.
Okay, there we are.
Because heights freak me out.
So the beauty of registered apprenticeship and union registered apprenticeship is that you have a wage card. So you know what everyone is. It's equitable wages. So there's not somebody making 70 cents on the dollar just because they're a woman or anything like that. Operating engineers who do operate those cranes, journey workers can earn up to $48 per hour. You add that into some of their health insurance fringe benefits. You're talking about $73 per hour.
That's a really highly skilled job.
That's amazing.
To be a crane operator. Yeah. The one that I had a chance to interview a couple of years ago, the manuals are like 7 inches thick and there's two of them. And the weights and the counterweights and the counterbalance and all that thing, it's really very impressive.
Absolutely. But even, you know, when we're talking about laborers who are building our roads, who are doing heavy highway construction, who are doing trench digging, things like that, that are vitally important to all of our water systems, our electrical systems, our broadband systems, you know, you can start at, you know, between $25 and $30 up to $36 an hour. And then when you add those benefits in, you're talking, you know, $58 an hour.
Where else are you going to find that?
I mean, I think the only other way you find that is if you go to a highly skilled job that's like a, like electronics or something like that, like kind of thing, like almost like IT, if you will.
Right.
Yeah. And let me remind you, that's no college debt, right? Yeah. Because you've gone through an apprenticeship and you've earned while you've learned, you've been earning since day one, mm-hmm. and zero debt.
Yeah.
How have job sites changed, Lindsay? I'm sure that for women, potentially people of color, there were a lot more obstacles before. I assume that has gotten better.
Yeah. So, you know, all of the unions have really ramped up with employee resource groups, mentorship programs. The state of Wisconsin, actually, through the Bureau of Apprenticeship Standards, has a mentoring program they're working on. There's also Empower, which is a women's trades group of tradeswomen that do mentoring and, of course, any resources that necessary. And what we do as well is we talk a lot about how work sites, job sites can become more friendly, more welcoming. And to be honest, in terms of our labor market and our demographics, now's the time to welcome everybody into the workforce. And if we want to have registered apprentices, unions doing our work, then we need to welcome everybody into this workforce.
And it was always my understanding that bringing diversity to the workforce is only good for the workforce and is only good for the industry because everyone brings something different.
Absolutely. So studies have shown that when you diversify a workforce based on the population, right, it matches the population of the communities, you get a return on investment of every $5 for every $1. So revenue increases by 30%, 33% if you have a diverse workforce.
Wow. Wow.
I wish you could just talk all the time to everybody about all this because I cannot stress to you. You know, my experience going through the apprenticeship program and having conversations about this in tech schools, and I have such a high regard for it now, and I think it's so very important, and I feel like it's something we should just be talking about all the time, and especially kids in high schools and maybe even younger. Like, you know, the kid has a draw to wood, likes working on wood with their parent. There we go. Carpentry might be world you want to be in, and you might know that at the age of 12. Then you can go through the program as you get older.
So studies show that kids start deselecting careers at fifth grade if they don't see themselves represented in it.
Oh, man.
And so something that we've done is partnered with Boys and Girls Clubs here in Wisconsin and started programs as young as second grade to start building birdhouses, to start doing mm-hmm. electrical circuitry so that they can see themselves represented in this and know that they can do it. This is a viable career option for them.
That's so cool.
That's so cool.
It really is. Lindsay Bloomer is our guest. She's the CEO of WRTP Big Step of South Central Wisconsin. Keith from Middleton has been waiting. Good morning, Keith. Thank you for joining us. What did you want to say?
Hey, good morning, guys. As a blue collar, my whole life, worked with my hands. Didn't go through an apprenticeship program, but I went through a culinary tech program 40 years ago and got my degree. And I've made an awful lot of money in my years as an executive chef at private clubs and resorts all over this country. I've been in six figures now for the last 15, 20 years, and that's nothing to sneeze at. I have to say that the Democratic Party, in my opinion, in the last, and I'm a Democrat lifelong, over 40 years has been pushing this MBA crap for the last 40 years to the point where they've really alienated the blue collars. And I think you're seeing that with the whole rise of Trump. And I think the only way Democratic Party is going to get back in the good graces of the hardworking people of this country is to really push hard to support these programs and make sure that people are understanding that everyone needs to have their house plumbed, electrical, HVAC, all yep. these things. You want to go out for dinner, you got to pay somebody to do it. There's no shame. It's an absolute, the most rewarding thing in the world, in my opinion, is to finish a job and look at it and say, I built that with my own two hands.
Absolutely, Keith. I had the opportunity to talk to some women who worked on Fiserv Forum, and they said, too, that the feeling I get when I drive past that and I'm with my kids and I can point to it and say, Mommy helped build that.
That's
is just an amazing thing.
I love that.
Thank you so much for the call, Keith. You don't happen to have a crane I can borrow, do you?
Wow. Oh, my God.
I think that's a no.
Wow. Yeah. And he left the call laughing at you.
Right. A girl can dream.
You know, I want to make this dream come true, honestly.
Well, we'll have a brainstorming session.
All right.
And we'll kick that around. Anything you want to add, Lindsay? We just have a couple of minutes left.
Sure. You know, I think as we diversify the trades and we start talking about registered apprenticeship here in Wisconsin and having a renaissance of this model that's been around since 1911, we're the leaders in this. And, you know, as I'm seeing more federal investment coming down with different infrastructure, roads, bridges, commercial buildings, residential, clean water, lead lateral replacement.
Yes.
Every single one of these grant programs has workforce development built into it, and all of them have language referencing pre-apprenticeship, registered apprenticeship, and union labor as well. And that's a huge sea change. And I think, you know, to your point about we need to keep telling people about this, I think this is the only way we're going to be able to accomplish some of these massive projects over the next 5 to 10 years. And generationally, I want to look back in 25 years and say we brought a whole new generation into the trades, into apprenticeship, and they are now journey workers who are mentoring the next class of apprentices. And I think we can do it.
Absolutely. Well, people can contact your organization if they want to find out more. We will put that in our show notes.
Mm-hmm.
It is WRTP.org. But again, we will put that in our show notes if you want to reach out to Lindsay's organization and find out more and talk to your kids, talk to your grandkids.
Have the good conversation because, you know, especially in today's day and age, young people with the jobs market, these are the good options.
Lindsay Bloomer, CEO of WRTP, thank you so very much for your time. Really appreciate it. Stay with us. We will be back. This is As Goes Wisconsin. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
Well, you know that it's going to be alright. I think it's gonna be alright. Everything will always be alright when we go shopping. Well, you know.
Good morning. Welcome to As It Goes Wisconsin. Jane Matner in for Kristen Bry. Greg Bach with me in studio. Nice poll, Calvin. Calvin is on the board, and you can always join us at 844-967-2789, 844-96.
Party!
Or if you're watching the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, or Twitter, you can leave a comment there as well. We were just talking with Lindsay Bloomer, who is with WRTP, Big Step in Wisconsin, and apprenticeship programs, mm-hmm. and the success of Wisconsin's apprenticeship program right now with over 16,000 enrollees. And one of our texters, I love this so much, sent me a suggestion for my next vacation. It's called the Diggin' Zone. It's a theme park where you can drive things.
Where is this located?
It's in Tennessee.
Well, you know, vacation next year, I guess.
Diggin' Zone. Oh, gosh. It just gave me chills. I think that would be so much fun. I have a feeling it is slightly more geared towards children.
Hey, you're a child at heart.
Yeah. That was some, yes. Like, okay.
I'm going to buy you some baby perfume.
We're going to switch gears a little bit. And I would love to hear from you on this at 844-967-2789. Oprah, amazingly, and I kind of lost track of this, that Oprah still comes out with her favorite things list.
Really?
Yep. Even though she hasn't, I mean, her show has been off the air for how long now?
For a long time. She still has her magazine and she's on the cover of every month.
Right. So she's still coming out with her favorite things. This used to be the big hoopla when everyone in the audience would get every single thing on her list. It was a huge deal.
Oh, yeah, of course. And I mean, Ellen did stuff like that, too. And
Ellen, yeah, Ellen started following that kind of path. But some of the items on here, at least they're not outrageously expensive. Not all of them are outrageously expensive, because sometimes she would get a little OTT. I thought, you know, Oprah has more money than God. Just because you can buy that doesn't necessarily mean the rest of us can afford to buy it. But among the items on this year's Oprah Favorite Things is a travel mug, the Corkical mug, with a slip-proof lid and easy grip sides for $29.95.
Corkable?
Corkical.
That's not a word. That's a new word.
A Land's End quilted Permaloft winter coat, which makes me look like an Oompa Loompa. That's $131.
Yeah.
There's a throw. Keep warm this season with a cozy yet chic throw from Oprah's list. It's $110. But now here's where my question comes in.
It's just going to be in a continuation of, do you really need this?
Okay. Pajamas.
Yeah.
Do you wear pajamas? 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. Every year, for years, she has put pajamas on her favorite things list.
Yeah.
My husband and I don't have kids.
Yeah. Neither does Oprah.
That's true. I am not a pajama person. I don't pajama.
Okay. You don't pajama jammy jam?
I don't, no.
All right.
I wear a cotton shirt.
Okay. It's like, all right.
And that's how I roll.
Are these pajamas, these so-called pajamas in question, are they like the traditional, I'm going to get ready for bed, pull up the pants of the PJ pants, and then button down the front PJ top? Like those traditional.
Oh, no. You mean like the flap in the back?
No. That's a onesie.
Oh.
I'm talking about like just true traditional pajamas that have pajama bottoms and then a top that you button close and stir your cocoa and you sit.
So she likes these that are $117. They're sustainable, responsibly sourced bamboo pajamas.
Cool.
Bamboo-based pajamas. And then there is a robe, which is another thing that I find completely superfluous.
Tell me more. I'm a robe guy.
Oh, all right. Calvin, do you pajama?
I do not pajama.
What are you sleeping?
Oh, boy.
I sleep in a t-shirt and just whatever boxers I had on for the day.
And Greg Bach, do you pajama?
No, I do not.
You do not pajama.
We're leaving it at that.
Oh, right. Fine.
No, I don't pajama. That's too much clothes. It's just it's
restrictive.
I move a lot. I toss and turn, so that just binds you up, and it's just not feasible.
I mean, obviously, if you have children at home, that's going to be a different situation.
Well,
I mean, because we certainly wore pajamas as kids.
Yeah, because pajamas are fun. I mean, to this day, my niece is going to be 22, and my nephew is 18. Every year for Christmas, on Christmas Eve, they get new pajamas and they put them on and they love it because they're just fun pajamas. But I don't think you have to be a parent to wear pajamas. I mean, most parents I know sleep in a t-shirt and their underwear. They're not getting into the, like, you know,
the silky bottoms and the.
Yeah. Well, that's for a birthday, maybe. But like, they're not like the Cleavers where it's like, all right, time to get ready for bed, mother.
There's a cozy robe. Barefoot Dreams Cozy Chic Ribbed Hooded Robe. That's $124. Are you a robe guy?
So, okay, first, before we get into my robe proclivities, is that like a robe designed for women? Like the style, the fashion, or does it look like a unisex?
It could be unisex.
Okay, I'm just good. That makes me happy.
It is called a yummy feeling bathrobe and a guaranteed crowd pleaser. I think that these have a roomy fit. And the ribbed material and hood up the cozy factor even more. So it's like double the cozy factor.
What psycho wrote the copy for that website?
It was Oprah.
Okay, so
don't go offending the great and powerful O.
I'll do what I want. I am a robe guy. I have the same robe I bought at a Sears Grand years ago. It is nice and fluffy. It is very comfortable. I love it. I'm not looking to replace it. It's perfect the way it is. And it cost me $10 on sale. Yeah. And I've had it for before I was married. So at least,
wow,
at least 12 years. But I think I have them probably closer to 20 years.
And it doesn't have any holes in it?
No holes. I take care of it. I wash it. I'm lovingly
handling the rope.
Yeah. And I love it too. It's like, and it comes right down to the knees. So like, I'll go out and like get the mail and I'll be that guy in his robe and his Crocs. Just like, what's up everybody? I'm here to get my mail. You know, but I think everyone should have a robe. It's very, but a comfy robe. Not, I mean, you want to get a sexy robe, get a sexy robe, whatever. But I think you should just get a box standard, very comfy, very just utilitarian robe. It really is really nice. I think it's very comfy.
I don't find them warm enough because I'm always chilly.
Then you're getting the wrong robe, sister.
I'm just not getting a high quality enough fuzzy ultra comfy robe.
Yeah, you need like something that's got some lining in there too then. I think I know I'm getting you for Christmas.
844-967-2789, 844-96.
The robe party. Just party.
844-96-PARTY. Do you pajama? Are you a pajama person? Is this a tradition? Maybe. I know people, like you said, your niece and nephew get new pajamas every Christmas Eve. I know adults.
Yeah.
That is their ritual, I guess.
I actually have a pair of pajamas. I just realized this, right? I have a pair of Brewer's pajamas. Ill-fitting. And when I say ill-fitting, if you see me, you're like, oh, they're too tight. No, they're too big. They're tall. They're the size plus tall. So like they go over my feet.
Oh, and my goodness.
The shirt goes down to my knees. Oh, my, I look like a little boy wearing his dad's pajamas, but they're Brewer's pajamas. So I still wear it. And I pull the pants up to my chest.
Oh, good Lord. You could actually just leave the pants off and use it as a sleep shirt like
exactly,
Scrooge.
Exactly.
Pat checking in from the 715. Last time I wore pajamas, they were Dukes of Hazzard's one with a General Lee on them. That was in the 80s. I can imagine the flag on the car's hood now would be a no-no.
Yes, yes.
LOL.
Yes, yes. It's a no-no.
Dukes of Hazzard PJs.
I think I had He-Man PJs. I know I had Spider-Man PJs. let's see here. We got another text from the 608 saying, during the school week, my three kids wear their clothes to bed for the next day because I don't have time to get them dressed in the morning. No pajamas. I'm convinced pajamas are for the upper class people. As a kid, I wore my dad's retired large t-shirt, no pajamas. Now I wear PJ pants plus sweatshirt to bed. Wow. Okay. And then from the 920, I PJ and robe.
Oh.
With exclamation points.
Oh.
Love them all. Keep my fluffy robe over clothes to keep warm. I want to go back to this last text, though.
Yeah. About the elites.
My three kids. I just want to say, I said this correctly. My three kids wear their clothes to bed for the next day because I don't have time to get them dressed in the morning.
So they're wearing school clothes?
They're wearing school clothes to bed, and then they wake up and they're just like, pop out of bed, put some shoes on, they're like, off to the bus. Goodbye, mother. Thank you for my peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
Interesting accent.
Thank you very much. It's I don't know where they're from. The East Coast, maybe? Yeah,
I find that unique.
I would like to know the kids' ages, because maybe they can help each other get dressed. Because I just feel like wearing clothes that you're going to...
It's too restrictive.
After a while, it's going to be... I mean, and this, once again, no judgment, just curious.
844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Do you pajama? Do you robe? Texter says, matching coordinated pajamas on Christmas morning. Yes, but otherwise I get undressed when I crawl into bed and I get dressed when I get out of bed.
There you go. That's some confidence right there. I can't do that. Can't do that at all.
I just find it, like you said too, Greg, it's too restrictive, and I am a flailer.
Yeah.
I flail at night. And so you got to watch out for the legs kicking and the arms swinging. And yeah, my husband wears a helmet to bed.
I just like this IPJ and robe.
Embrace it.
And yeah, live your
if
life.
That's your thing.
Yeah, whatever floats your boat, my friends, you know? I mean, like, you want a PJ? PJ. You want a nut? You don't.
Trying to see what other things are on Oprah's favorite things list. We have the fluffy
coat. Is Stedman on there?
You know... They're very happy together. Don't go picking on. Don't go after Stedman.
I'm not picking on Stedman. I just want her to appreciate Stedman.
Do you think she is not appreciative
of
Stedman?
I don't know. Has he ever been on the list?
Well, she's another people can't get him.
True.
She's not going to put him on the list.
This is just from the same texter about the PJ and robe life. Just some smiley faces.
Another pair of pajamas stripe and stare lounge pant and sweatshirt set, which I guess are considered pajamas. Oprah said on her list this year, she owns 12 pairs in different colors at $128 a pop.
You know what, Oprah, you really need to take it down a peg. All right, seriously. We know you're rich. We know you're one of the richest, but 12 pair of the same, I mean.
In different colors.
Fair, I guess.
In different colors.
Which she probably got for free because she's endorsing them.
You're probably right.
Yeah.
Absolutely. All right. And slippers.
Oh, I'm getting in the slipper game this Christmas.
Slipper game?
Found out that you should always be wearing some kind of house shoe when you're walking around the house if you have like concrete floor or tile floor, because the motion of your foot going down on concrete floor or a hardwood floor too, that can have some lasting damage on your body, on your feet. So I'm going to ask for some house slippers. Wear those around, be comfy, and take care of my body.
Boy, you're going to be looking fine when you walk up to the mailbox.
Here we go. We got a follow-up. This is from Liz with the three kids. They wear sweatpants and sweatshirts to school. Okay. So, all right. They are 8, 10, and 5. I feel like I've just opened up more questions.
844-967-2789. 844-96-PARTY if you ever want to check in. Stay with us when we come back. Dolly Parton. There's nobody like this woman.
Absolutely not.
And she needs a prize just for being her. This is As Goes Wisconsin across the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome to As Goes Wisconsin. Jane Matinair in for Kristen Bry. Greg Mock with me in studio. Calvin is on the board. And you can always check in too at 844-967-2789. Shout outs to everyone listening in La Crosse on the Eagle, WLCX, and also in Wisconsin Rapids on WFHR Homegrown Radio. We were talking about Oprah is out with her annual list of favorite things for the holidays. And she's got pajamas on there and slippers and a robe, and that got us kicking around. Do you pajama? I personally do not pajama. Calvin does not pajama. Greg, you also do not pajama, but you are pro-robe.
Pro-robe. I'm probe.
Pro-robe. You're pro.
Let me rephrase that.
And slippers.
Pro-robe. I'm pro-slippers, too, for health reasons, too. We got a couple more texts that came through. The young lady who is very pro-robe is also slippers all day. In fact, all my piano students bring slippers and wear them.
All right.
And then from the 608, my husband calls his robe a house coat. I like that.
That's hilarious.
I always tease him about it. Well, you know what? He lives his life and still journeys his journey in his beautiful house coat.
House coat is just such a 1950s term.
I know. I feel like you should be walking into a room with a big, big long back chair and be like, I'm going to read the latest Jane Eyre.
In my house coat.
There you are.
A texter from the 414 says, nightgowns only and a robe.
Wait, say it one more time?
Nightgowns only, not pajamas.
All right.
Nightgowns only and a robe.
Love that free-flowing but still protected.
It's too restrictive. At least for me.
All right.
It's just my thing.
That's great. I'm here for it.
We're not judging.
We're not judging.
We're not judging.
Kind of judging.
Okay, maybe a little.
A scotch.
Whatever, go ahead. I wanted to talk about Dolly Parton.
We should always be talking about Dolly Parton.
For a number of reasons, including just because she's fabulous.
Yep.
And she was just performed at the Dallas Cowboys game.
In?
A Dallas Cowboy cheerleader outfit. She's 77 years old.
Yeah.
She looks amazing.
Yep.
I didn't look that good when I was in my 20s. And she just rocks it. It's incredible. But this just jumped out at me. Dolly does not tweet. And Dolly doesn't like to talk on the phone. Dolly only faxes. I don't want to talk to everybody that wants to talk to me. I don't text because I don't want to have to answer them. She said this on the Drew Barrymore show. If somebody calls me, I'll answer it if I want to talk to them, or I'll call them back when I can. Otherwise, I've got too much to think about to clutter up my mind with everything else. I'm not a stupid person, Dolly says. I could learn if I wanted to, but I'd rather just have my fax machine and call in my creative stuff to my crew.
You know what? It's Dolly Parton, of course.
Dolly's going to live how Dolly wants
Dolly's going to live. Dolly.
Yeah, Dolly's going to Dolly. But this is the icing on the cake. Miley Cyrus is her goddaughter.
Aww.
And she said, every time I try to coordinate and communicate with Dolly, it is always through fax. My godmother is rarely on the phone. When we do use the phone occasionally, but she does a fax, and then someone on her staff scans the fax and they put it into a text message, and then they send that text message to me, and Dolly always signs it.
I was gonna
she's not gonna know who it's coming from.
I just think the idea of Dolly Parton becoming your friend. There's a knock on the door from Amazon. Here's your fax machine. You're Dolly's friend. She provides all of her acquaintances with one. That is,
isn't that
God,
funny?
That's so sweet and awesome. I love her so much.
I do too.
I'm going to be very, very sad when the day comes. But we're not going to talk about that right now. We're going to talk about the fact that Dolly's still performing, releasing records, being amazing. I thought she wouldn't want to text because she has a very, very lowbrow sense of humor sometimes. Like she can be naughty. She can be a naughty lady. And, you know, sometimes naughty jokes don't transfer well on text. Not to mention, you run the risk of someone just screenshotting your text messages and being like, I talked to Dolly Parton about this. And people being like, Dolly Parton's the devil.
Yeah. No, so, that's true. So maybe it's just a little self-protection mode.
You know what? From now on, that's it. I quit this show. I quit everything. I'm just going to get a fax machine. And that's how I'm going to communicate with everyone.
Good luck.
I'm going to release podcasts and I'll call them books.
You troublemaker. You.
Yeah, I am.
You troublemaker. One more text I want to share you. This is going back to the do you pajama or not. And this is from Kristen. I have started pajamaing since Frankie got here. I get the super soft button-up ones from Target, so I have easy access to breastfeed. Also, hashtag robes for life.
I wear the same ones because I want my boobs to breathe as well.
I think
I'm going to get you a comfy robe. I think once you get into a robe that, especially one that keeps you warm, mine keeps me warm. You're going to be on top. You're going to be on the robe life. I guarantee it.
Robe life.
Robe life.
That could be a television series.
Robe life. She's staying warm in cold days. She's staying hot in the summer days. She is wearing Jane in the robe life.
We'll see if I get there.
Okay.
We'll see if I get there.
I guess.
Thank you so much to everyone who joined us today. If you ever want to call or check in, 844-967-2789. You can also shoot us an email at asgoeswisconsin@civicmedia.us. Coming up tomorrow, Carol Kane is going to be here. She will be here tomorrow and on Friday. Also, I believe it's Paul Noonan, either Paul Noonan or J.R. Radcliffe, going to be joining us about 11:33 tomorrow so we can talk a little bit about sports.
I love sports.
There was a really interesting article that I just read about how the Jets are trapped now with Aaron Rodgers that I thought was hilarious.
I mean, all things aside, if he heals correctly, he still probably has another couple of years in him. I mean, they're going to milk Aaron Rodgers' celebrity all they can worth. I mean, I don't think they're stuck with him.
You don't?
I mean, they're stuck with his mouth.
Can't do anything about that.
No, not one bit. Blech.
Can't do any. Well, he's not our problem anymore, which is
we
good.
Still talk about him. Like
I know. Well, again, he's the old boyfriend I can't get out of my head.
I dated him for 10 years.
He broke my heart, and then he betrayed me.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, oh.
But I'm fine. Wow. Stay tuned. We have the news at noon is coming your way, followed up by the Todd Allbaugh Show, and then Matt Flynn direct from 2 to 4 o'clock, and from 4 to 6 across the Civic Media Network, you will have the Devil's Advocates radio program. It's only Wednesday. Good heavens, what's going to happen tomorrow? Thank you for joining us. Have a wonderful day. Enjoy the sunshine. This is As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network.